We have.
Where are you?
Oh. Oh, we'll get there. Hang on. We've got Laura Rose Maine entered the waiting room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should we just send it? Or
I think we should send it. Do you think I should change my backdrop, or is this just the most embarrassing interview that's ever happened?
What is that room there? Is that
I
like,
can bring
is that
I
like
can
a,
bring the guest in, and then we'll go from there.
Is that you can... Oh, in a dungeon.
This is a very professional
Hello.
operation we have
Oh,
here.
here we go. Hello there, Laura. Can't see your beautiful face. Can't hear you either.
We have read.ai in here as usual. We can't
yeah,
get
as
rid
usual.
of.
Yes.
They
yep,
just turn
yep.
up.
Yep. Have you got a beer
Don't
while
do
we're
anything about
waiting?
that. Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
That's not
Alrighty.
Laura.
That doesn't look like a Laura.
How you doing? Sorry, wrong
Hey, what's
name.
Going on?
Good. How are you guys?
I'm
Not
really
bad.
glad that we're not competing on backgrounds here, because you've got the classic like rock star look and the guitar in the background, and I'm
And
literally
his own
living in the
reflection.
basement from Parasite.
That's good. Yeah, I like it. This nice mix.
This
That's
is just
nice.
A visual of what happens when your brewery doesn't work out. So no pressure.
We probably should explain, Dan, who we got with us for those who are doing audio only.
That's a good point, Hendo. You're good at introductions. Introduce Laura.
Well, this is Laura Rosemain.
Oh, no.
Why don't you introduce yourself? Tell us who you are, where you're from, and we'll get cracking.
Yeah, my name's Pete. I'm one of the founding directors of Bodrigi Brewery in Abbotsford, Melbourne. Yeah, we started in 2017. I believe I'm here to chat sustainability, but
yeah.
Open to all options at this stage.
Can we chat Specky Juice first, though?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
I love that beer. It's good.
Do you have a beer, or are you beer free? Because we normally do a beer at the start of the show.
Yeah.
Oh, it's
absolutely.
A beer.
There you
it's
go.
Probably, it's yeah. Dan's usually got a glass of wine or something. But
yeah.
That looks
what
like
do you
it.
got?
No, I've got a Matic.
Oh,
okay. Newly inducted into the IBA directorship.
Yes, Annalise is now on the board of the IBA.
Yep. And now I've my local brewery.
Lovely.
Yeah, I've got
whereabouts
this.
Where's Matic?
Matic is in the esteemed suburb of Ashmore, which is
on the
right
Gold
next
Coast.
To the esteemed suburb where I live, of Stabradoor.
Okay.
So
right.
if you know the Gold Coast, you've got Stabradoor, Trashmore, and then some nicer suburbs.
Yeah.
But,
okay.
you know, I don't venture outside of these bits. It's a triangle. It's good.
Yeah, no.
He calls it Stabradoor, but it's actually Labrador, and it's actually a suburb that I grew up in when I was a kid. So,
oh, in the Goldie, yeah, that's one.
Yeah,
I've never been there.
It was much better. It only went downhill after I left.
Yeah.
Well, we definitely haven't gone uphill. Labrador, that people call it, who live there.
You know, Labrador.
There you go.
Labrador. Hey, I've got this Art Monster beer from Korea that I picked up.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, wow,
why don't
yeah.
you ask me what it's called?
What's it called?
Ah, but no fucking idea. There's not a word of English on this except for the ABV and the size of the can, which is 500 mils and 4.9%.
Cool
I should
label.
Get my... I actually
cool.
have not. Yeah, they're bloody amazing. I've got another one here.
They don't have ABAC
this
over
is
there?
From this is from Art Monster. I was in Korea judging.
Let's get a little
beer.
Photo. Let me get a screenshot, because we're going to put this on the thing. Have you got a can? Wait, we didn't get there, but let's go.
There we go.
Nice. Okay.
So I was in Korea a couple of weeks ago, and I was judging beer at the Korean International Beer Awards, and I picked up a couple of cans of beer, and now I don't know what I've got. But here we are.
What color is it? Does it have a special color or anything, or does it look like a normal beer?
I'll tell you what, this glass is looking pretty average.
Well, that's standard.
It smells like a Hefeweizen. It's just like the whole room's just filled up with banana ester right now. So I'm pretty sure this is a Hefeweizen. Let me just check yes, it's a German Hefeweizen ale. World champion craft beer.
All right.
Beer that won 21 international beer competitions.
That's pretty good.
How was the scene there?
Amazing. It's amazing. They're very much... Love their craft beer. Art Monster, for instance, it was a phenomenal brewery. It was like over 7 floors. So the base of the brew house and the cellar was on the ground floor.
Wow.
Then the packaging line was on the first floor. So canning, bottling, and kegging. And then on the third floor was all the raw material storage. On the fourth floor was like a prep kitchen, a bunch of prep kitchens, because they have 18 different tap rooms around Korea. They do all the food prep in the one place and ship out, and then create really simple systems at the tap rooms to keep costs low and the consistency of the hospitality experience and that sort of thing. It was amazing.
Yeah, awesome.
And
Is it similar to Japan? I've been to my brother's living in Japan at the moment. I've been going quite a lot, and I was the scene there was different than what I was expected.
really
Is it?
small breweries in Japan. Really small footprint breweries in Korea, but they're very big operations. So,
Nice.
what did you
Yeah.
think? How long ago did you go to Japan? This is quite recent.
I mean, he's been there for a while, so I've been going quite frequently. Like, I've been going once a year since since COVID sort of wound up. And it was just the Japanese, they're very particular about and very artisan and like very focused and driven and attention to detail, which I think was reflective in their beers to a certain respect. But yeah, I guess from the hospitality point of view, I was a little bit surprised how basic some of the setup was, particularly because in some ways that like it's hard to get a bad meal in areas of or all of Japan really, as far as I'm concerned. And then the brew pub model there kind of it was very they hadn't really explored that too much in my experience, but the beer's really good. And very thorough, and yeah, no, it was interesting. I liked it.
I'm thinking of going back to Japan just for my kids, but when I went there, it was quite a while ago. I'd heard good things about the beer scene, and I don't know if it was my research or my lack of taste or something, but I was very underwhelmed.
I mean, I kind of thought that too, but I was just trying to be nice about it a little
I get that vibe. You were trying to be nice. I found it hard to get a good beer, to be honest.
I hope to be heading over. I will be heading over to Japan in October because I've got a mate that's getting married there. But I hope to be judging at the International Beer Cup as well in Sapporo at the same time. So
Oh, great. That'll be
should be
amazing.
there. Should be there for the whole month. So it should be pretty good. And yeah. So, mate, tell us about.
Wait, you didn't introduce your beer yet, did you?
Oh,
What beer
yeah.
have you
I
got
did.
there?
This is just a beer that we released last week. It's called Bodrigi Company Card IPA.
Oh, nice.
It's like a relatively st stock standard run of the mill 5.8% West Coastie, really piney. It's the first time we've just started trying to put some of our limiteds into the 500 mil can again for the first time. We had when we first launched, we had some fairly catastrophic failures with it. So that was 3 or 4 years ago. So we just thought we've got a few beers planned in the next couple of months in the 500 mil cans, and we're kind of trying to hone in on the kind of like the Black Ops specialties, those slightly bigger, hazier beers, and just doing tiny batches to try and diversify the range a little bit. But yeah, tastes really good, fresh as.
Have you got a canning line there? I haven't been there since you very first opened. It was a long time ago.
Yeah, me too.
We do. We've got a it's a we've got a 5-head Cody filler. It's all the whole complete operations in-house in Abbotsford, yeah.
So where does the name Bodrigi come from?
Hey, that was my question here. That's the only question I had, and you fucking asked it. I like how casually you stole my question, though. That was good. That's just, I'll edit
Even
that
know it was your question.
out.
Bodrigi is the so the we had we still do have the business opposite it. It's a bar called Dr. Morse, and
Oh, I
the
love
original
that place.
Oh, yeah.
stonemason this, you know, it's an old building built in the late 1800s, and the original stonemason had a Bodrigi villa on it. And I think it's an area in Cornwall, but we just kind of liked, we wanted something fairly organically Australian and kind of not so serious. And it's was relatively, I guess, kind of relevant to the area since it was been sitting on the street for, you know, over 100 years. And yeah, so it's just the old stonemason hedge on top of the
You
business.
do an event at Dr. Morse there, because I've had some cracker days in the beer garden out the back there, and I can't remember what the event was where I went that I went to there, but shit, I had a good time.
Yeah, I mean, we used to do the Humboldt County Showcase. Maybe you came to that. That was really good. It's sort of, you know, back in the, it's such a fast moving scene, isn't it? Back in the, you know, well, it's been 10 years since we owned that place. And when we first opened, it was, I guess, kind of at the period of time where it was an emerging scene, and we were doing what would be seen as kind of stock standard beers in these days. But back then it was you know, lots of beer launches, lots of tap takeovers, lots of areas that we'd highlight. But it's yeah, the industry's fast caught up, so it's probably a fairly stock standard, which is a good thing, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And so tell us a little bit about, because we're here to talk about sustainability and that sort of thing, which is a subject that I like talking about, because you know, when you're a brewer, you realize that making beer is a very energy and resource intensive proposition. And you see a lot of, you know, a lot of breweries go, yeah, we'll go down the path of being, you know, carbon neutral and sustainable. We'll slap a few solar panels on the roof and see what happens, that sort of thing. What sort of differentiates, you know, Bodrigi's efforts, with regards to carbon neutrality and sustainability?
Well, I guess we started in 2017, and we you know how I'm sure you guys did it when you're kind of doing that conceptualization period, and you're kind of asking what are we, and what does the brand really stand for, and who are we going to appeal to, and what, like, how much substance is in what we actually are doing. And we worked out a bunch of core pillars, like four core pillars that we wanted to basically stand by, and kind of have consistency in everything that we did and launched behind. So it kind of came to the point where we, after 6 years or 5 years of brewing, those pillars weren't that relevant to us. And, oh, I mean, there was just that most of the pillar, the three of the pillars were, but one of them was about innovation. And you know, back then we were making 200,000 liters a year, and now we're sort of pushing towards the 2 million. So it just wasn't really about us making funky, really challenging beers or left of center. And we just matured as a bit of as a brand. And so the discussion from a, this is just from the business angle, was we thought it was time for us to have a rejig in regards to those pillars. And it was a process that we'd kind of been doing anyway, where we're in Abbotsford. It's a fairly left-leaning area. It's a very topical conversation amongst other businesses, and a pretty much a straight-up conversation in we had with our customers and people that drank our beer. And we just was like, these are the things that we're thinking of. We're quite good friends with the guys at Capital in Canberra, and they kind of told us how it went down. And I guess that was the start of it. So, and then we spoke to the company Pengolin that kind of do these quite comprehensive audits. And yeah, I guess it was just an initial conversation at the start. But yeah, then we decided after we kind of it was about a 2 year plan. And after a bit of a broad chat, we decided how to crack it. Really, that's the, I guess that's the long and the short of it.
What does it take to become an accredited carbon neutral business? Because I'm looking at my notes here, and it basically says you're the first Victorian brewery and only the second in Australia to become to gain carbon neutral accreditation for the beers and the brewery. What sort of what do you have to go through to get to that point where you become accredited as carbon neutral?
I mean, cut a long story short, it's a really gnarly audit, like a really, really, really 2 years worth of recording everything that comes in and goes out. So at that stage, you're not necessarily trying to cut emissions or anything. All you're doing is presenting what's happening inside the business, essentially, to the company that's Penguin that's doing the audit. So yeah, like because we did both the brew pub and the wholesale operation, it's every single delivery coming in and out, how much is coming in and out, and then everything that's getting delivered. Yeah, so it's A to Z, a full comprehensive audit that goes for about 2 years, really. That's
So
the
you would have done sort of some initial sort of baseline audit to sort of see where you stood in order to go to head to that path of becoming carbon neutral, yeah.
Yeah, part of it came about because we were sort of there was the wheels are moving a little bit in that direction anyway. My business partners and I have I guess, a general interest in renewables. So we're trying to move in that direction anyway. So yeah, we did do it. We looked at what it would actually take. And then we kind of assigned people in. So we had a guy from the kitchen, we had a guy from the pack. The packaging area do it, and then had a guy from the brewery area all handle their separate areas, and then yeah, we just kind of got into the routine of making sure that everything was recorded, and yeah.
What were sort of the key that you know, if you could list sort of your top three things that sort of made the most impact towards heading towards carbon neutral, what would they be?
Yeah, I mean, that was a really interesting component. We were really surprised, to be honest. Obviously, we thought there was going to be, like the stock standard water issue and I guess electricity, but some other really big things like 10% of our total business emissions come from red meat, which is a real
All
surprise.
right.
But yeah. 7% of our emissions come from gas, which is primarily from our boiler, but we also have quite a lot of heaters inside the venue. Yeah, I guess the big hitters was water. Meat, I guess, was 10%. Electricity in general, and then mostly distribution. So just raw materials coming and going basically were the real big heavy hitters.
So do you still have the meat thing hanging from the thing when you go in there? Because
Yeah,
yeah, that was cool. You still got that? Okay,
yeah.
cool. That's good.
Yeah, no, it was because at the moment we're going through a bit of a like because part of it is we want we really thought it was a nice angle in regards to engaging some of our up and coming staff members. You know, we've got close to 100 staff members, and a lot of we want to start working on staff retention. We want to work on staff engagement, and a lot of our staff members live in this area, and we feel like there's a fair percentage of them that are engaged in the in that sort of they're interested in this as a project in general. So that was part of the reason too is we talk quite a lot about the one percenters, mostly there's only so much we can do about, we're not going to pull our boiler out. And we need water to make beer. There's only so much we can do about those sorts of things. But so at the moment, it's an extra bonus, I guess, for us is trying to engage with our staff members and get them to contribute towards trying to knock over a couple of these 1%ers. And to be honest, most of the time, it's not even 1%. It's like 0.2% or 0.3%. They give you a really, like, you know, I could tell you how much emissions, for example, our stationery took for that period of time. So it's that's part of it as well, is you just sort of bring those things to light, hopefully have a discussion about it amongst your staff and work a plan out in on trying to hit it on the head.
How far, when you did the original audit, how far north of or south of carbon neutral were you? Like, how much did you have to change to get to that?
That's a fairly complicated question, because I guess it is a little bit open-ended in regards to, like, we've got a plan that we want to hit by 2030, but it's so dependent on the performance of our business and how, you know, like, you know, we want to get all this, because most of the heavy hitters just take, it's just straight up, it just costs money to do it. And we hope to be able to get to those positions. But I think realistically, there's probably six big heavy hitters in the next 6 years that we'd like to do. We've got a big strip of land next to the brew pub that we'd like to purchase and just fill with silos. That would be a huge emission reduction. Whether we're going to be able to do that in 3 years, like we outlined to Penguin or not, I don't, it's a little bit hard to say. And they're really open about that too. They just say, look, put it in there. Let's have a crack at it. And it's really a process of two steps forward, one step back. You might get it and you might not get it. It's So I guess to answer your question, ideally we're about 6 years off fairly drastic reductions to be able to get to the point where we're carbon neutral. But I think we'll always be paying some credits.
That was going to be my question, is are you purchasing offsets or carbon credits and that sort of thing?
Yeah, we are. It would be a really interesting case study to have a look at and see if there's any brewery that's completely carbon neutral in 10 years time that are not that aren't buying credits. I would love to see that situation. We're very urban as well. I feel like you could. So there's only so many solar panels we can put on our roof. There's not that much room for water. Water storage is, we are limited. I think that if you had space and you could expand that, those sorts of operations, you could potentially run completely without credits, which would be cool. I don't think we'll touch wood. Yeah, I don't think we'll ever quite get to that point.
So just so I understand it, to call yourself carbon neutral, you've got all this stuff in process, but you buy credits in the meantime to make up the difference. Is that how it works?
Yeah, so I guess that's part of the process. Is I thought that was really interesting that that's basically it. So they say they say to you, all right, this is exactly how much you're bleeding. What do you think would be a reasonable amount of time to be able to start working towards getting to the point where you're closer to being carbon neutral? And you set a target. And so that was what our 2030 target. And then they do an audit every single year, and they basically tell you how you're tracking. And it's a complicated audit because it's basically done primarily. It's done. So our production is going up. So obviously our emissions are going up, but they work on a per liter ratio. Mm-hmm. So, ideally, our production keeps going up, but our emissions per liter
should be going down.
Yeah.
Are you seeing any cost savings from any of the sustainability side of things? I mean, I've had some really. I've been out to Rocky Ridge out in WA, and. And they're pretty much like Yeah, we're doing this. It's expensive to do, but it's saving us a lot of money as well. You know, it's taking a lot of money off our unit costs and that sort of thing. Are you seeing any benefits in that regard, or at this point in time, or is it something you plan to realize later, or?
It's I think it's coincided, I guess, with our stage in the journey. You know, we're sort of pushing towards that 2 million liters where I do feel like we're kind of coming to the point where we're coming out of the smaller guy brewery and coming into the sort of small to medium type. So it's conducive of which is good timing for us. It's conducive of working in that more bulk type arrangement, which is definitely helping. So you know, we try to buy everything, but instead of getting sort of 4 or 5 grain deliveries in the week, we're kind of trying to do it all in one hit. And in general, yeah. And then you know, when we order boxes and packaging and stuff, we're not we're generally not doing it for 2 or 3 pack runs. We try and do it for a quarter or 6 months or whatever. So there's an element of the production cycle that lends itself to being a little bit more carbon neutral, which is I think we're benefiting from to a certain extent. You know, and then there's the stock standard. Of course, our solar panels save us 10 grand a year, that kind of stock standard stuff. Yeah, so we're trying to work at it. It is a little bit of a, when we first made the announcement, I feel like when we announced it to all our staff, there was a little bit of a like, okay, from now on, we're, you know, it's going to be the whole brewery is going to be completely glossy and 1 million% solar power orientated, blah blah blah. But it's that was a big sort of discussion point that we had to have with everyone, just letting them know that it's like, okay, this is a journey, and there's going to be some months that we fuck up, and there's going to be some things that we do that aren't going to be in that direction. We have to obviously prioritize the welfare of the business most of the time, and if it can tick the box, it can tick the green box as well. That's great, but sometimes there will be times that we regress a little bit.
Yeah.
We just have to be aware of that.
Swings and roundabouts.
Yeah.
What
Can I
did
ask a
you
question
what's
about the volume? You're approaching that volume surprising to me. That sounds like it's a
In that
lot.
space, that's huge.
Yeah. Are you nervous at all about where that puts you in the industry, the way the industry is going? You've got these additional costs, and then you're getting to that volume where you're getting into that territory where you're sort of competing with the majors in some sense. I'm guessing to get that kind of volume, you must be have some distribution a fair way from the venue, and you're much bigger than just a brew pub. Are you nervous about that, or do you have thoughts on that?
It's impossible not to be nervous with you know, like just being aware of what's happening in the industry. No, we are. I guess I think a lot of the growth has come from like you know, we still do sell probably 25% of everything that we make within a 5 to 10K radius, which is which makes me less nervous. Like, we don't really have that much distribution outside of, well, outside of the inner north, really. Like, we do a little bit of interstate stuff, but that helps ease the nerves a bit. But yeah, I mean, it's impossible to not be nervous. I'm sure
Melbourne's
you're
pretty good with
comfortable.
kegs, isn't it? Like that, you have a decent percentage of keg sales versus pubs.
It's about 50-50. Yeah, it's
That's
about
pretty good, isn't
50-50.
it? Like it'd be almost impossible to run a brewery in Queensland and have a 50-50 ratio, close to
Egg to
home.
pack, yeah.
Yeah.
What's the sort of standard ratio in Queensland?
It's been 2 years since I've been in the game, so I can't answer that. But I know after COVID, it was. All that went out the window. I don't know of anyone doing that kind of volume and that kind of ratio.
It's also, I mean, to be honest with you as well, it's a month by month proposition. This time last
Yeah.
year, it was pretty dire. Like, it was we're having some fairly frank discussions, and I think it's a good experience learning how to batten down the hatches a bit, and we're preparing for that again this coming winter. So it is a month by month process at the moment, and I guess this time around I feel like we're pretty prepared to be able to sort of just push the stop button and kind of batten down the hatches and wait till summer again. Comparative to Queensland, I feel like it'd be quite a bit more seasonal down here. So you kind of
Yeah,
you have your good
but
time.
I think the big thing that I mean I know the big mistake that we made, and I don't know about other breweries, but having to take those leaps that are so big that you can't come back from, that you take them when things are growing and you take it as a leap of faith and you hope it works out, and a lot of the time it does. But if you're taking a leap like that, and a good example is that going to a production facility or going to a big pack line or whatever the case is. If you can avoid taking that sort of leap, you have the option to batten down the hatches. But if you take a leap like that, at that point, there's kind of no coming back from it. So do you
I mean,
guys have the ability to kind of expand without taking a huge leap like that?
it's interesting because I had a little bit of a read up of you guys, and I couldn't believe that you guys were making 12 million liters a year, because it felt like
We definitely weren't. I don't know where you read that. Also, I've got nothing to do with the company, so let's not talk about Black Ops, but
Oh, whatever. I'm sure it was a big number. So it was, that makes perfect sense, because you're right. That would be, like if we went, I know how hard we've had to grind to get to this point now. And if someone said to us next year we had to make six, it would just be, that, yeah, there would
But it
be,
would be possible where you are, because from my recollection,
it's a
it's
very
a quite
small
a small,
footprint.
yeah.
No, I mean, it's like we're pretty much like, yeah, that's it for us where we are. There's no real expansion outside of the building that we're in.
You have big
And
tanks in there, don't you? But it's a kind of a brew pub vibe, but you got these massive fucking 50 heck tanks, or was it bigger than 100 heck or something? Like
yeah,
decent.
80 hect tanks. Yeah,
Yeah.
I mean, it's very pr practical space, and we've kind of started working in weekend shifts and nighttime shifts and stuff. So I feel like we're, but unless we, there's not much we can do. There's a little bit of scope down the laneway that we might be able to stretch it out a little bit. But I'm actually, to be honest with you, I'm pretty happy with that amount. Like I don't, we'd probably have to get some big hidden shareholders or something else on that. I don't know. Like I feel fairly content in the between 2 to 3 million. I mean, you tell me, what do you reckon?
I think that's smart.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, I have to make sure I get down there, because I'm heading down in a couple of weeks with Adam Schell
Oh, yeah,
and
nice.
for the AIBA dinner. So
Oh yeah, great. Yeah, come down, mate. Let us know.
I'll bring Adzi and Joel down, and they can shoot an episode of their Aussie Beer Voyage podcast or something like that. And we'll come and say hi and that sort of thing, and I'll get you details on an email or something like that. So
Yeah, that'd be great, Hendo. Yeah, sounds good.
it should
Awesome.
be a good week. So yeah.
Well, good on you.
Heading to
Thanks for
the
coming
AIBA
on.
dinner at all?
Yeah, we'll be there. Yeah,
Yep.
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, well, definitely. Should be good. I don't even know if, yeah, we no, we've got some entrants in there. So
Yeah,
yeah.
good.
We
Awesome.
do you guys still focus? I mean, there's probably a little bit of a less focus from our point of view, particularly with the indies and stuff, in regards to that too. But I'd like to think that maybe in the coming years we'd get back into it a little bit. It's important. It's sort of just kind of dropped off the radar, I guess, just everyone counting their dollars a bit more so.
Yes. Yeah.
It's not cheap.
Absolutely. Nah, it's not cheap. It's not cheap. So yeah, that's all good.
Also
Hey,
changing the
thanks for
gabs
joining
and
us.
changing the gabs and the Good Beer Week and everything around the same time kind of changes things quite
This
a
is no
lot. No. Yeah.
BrewCon this year, so yeah, awesome. Mate, thanks so much for joining us this evening, and that sort of thing. It's really interesting to hear about what's going on at Bodrigi with its with your sustainability efforts, and wish you all the
Yeah.
best for the
Oh.
future, mate.
Oh, thanks so much for
Absolutely.
having us, guys. I really enjoyed it. Cheers.
Yeah, no dramas. We'll see you in a
Cheers,
couple of
mate. All the
weeks.
best.
Catch up.
And for those listening and who haven't been to Bodrigi, it's a fucking amazing
It's
venue, isn't
great.
it? I was very
I
surprised
just my
when they
memory's a
opened.
bit blurry, but they had like a meat cabinet, didn't they?
Oh, I just reminded him of that. I was like, do you still have the meat cabinet?
There was like the meat cabinet, And that's 10% like, of their emissions. Like
hanging off it and shit. It was sick. I've still got it, which is good.
Oh,
but now, I remember when they opened, it was like, you guys are opening a brew pub around the corner from Stomping Ground. You're fucking out of your mind. Like, you got no chance. And then I went there. I was like, this place is like arguably better than bloody Stomping Ground.
Yeah.
It's legit.
Yeah. The beers are good. The venue's great. It's good.
2 million.
That's a lot crazy for that space. That fuck, man.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah.
But just even just smashing out a million liters in kegs in that space. Boy, oh boy.
That's crazy.
That's wild.
Well, that's good. It's good to see someone. They seem to be doing pretty well.
Yeah, it's really good.
Carbon neutral thing. Have that conversation another time. It's more your thing than my thing.
Oh, look, I think it's just the reason why I take an interest in it is that, you know, every time I brew and you realize the amount of fucking resources that, you know, energy and water and all that sort of stuff that just literally goes down the drain.
Yeah.
It plays on you, man. You're just like, well, fuck, you know, beer is not the most sustainable beverage and that sort of thing. And and for the industry as a whole to get to a point where they're becoming more sustainable, that's going to take a lot of work and a lot of dollars. And it's really good to see, you know, pioneers like Bodrigi, you know, like Rocky Ridge, like Helios here in Brisbane, Charlie's Creek out in Chinchilla, which is going to be carbon neutral as well.
What about Brewdog with the forest? Are you into that?
Sorry. Is it? That's fake carbon neutral.
Okay, sorry. My face.
The trees died, didn't they?
I'm going to get sunburnt from the reflection from my fucking face in this computer. You're going to have to put sunglasses on. Can you see how
I can see what's going on. Where are you anyway?
I'm in my basement.
You going to set up a pool table there or something?
It's not high enough. You'd smack your head on the roof.
Oh, is it that? Okay, so you really are in the dungeon.
Have you seen Parasite, the movie?
Yes.
I am in that movie.
The Korean one.
I'm like the bottom of the tier. Getting pissed on. You know what I mean?
Did Aaron send you down there? Did you? You're in the bad books, in the doghouse. You get sent to the basement.
No, when we moved in there, she's like, you can do your podcast down here. I'm like, that's fucking stupid. I'm not doing my podcast down here. Sure enough, first podcast. We haven't done this in 2 weeks. It's my fault.
No, that's right. I forgot it was Thursday. Yeah. I was ready to go. You know, on Anzac Day, I had a few beers and that sort of thing, but I would have given it a red hot go. And then you went cooking fish.
I was cooking fish. I made a fire and I had to cook fish in it. And
yeah,
it was a challenge because I decided I was going to butterfly fish. Have you seen that Mr. Nerland guy from Sydney who does the fish butchery?
Nah.
You got to follow this dude on Instagram. He does like the butterfly fish. So you chop it in half.
Yeah,
and it goes flat, and you somehow get the bones out, and you cook it the whole fish.
Yeah,
and I just want I'm doing this. I'm doing it, and I attempted it on the fire, and that's why I didn't do the podcast.
I was pretty I love eating fish, but it was a bit of a wild week last week though because the commo died finally.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, like, for someone who has no hair, I'm surprised about your new profession that you've chosen in life.
What's that?
Well, I just thought you'd become a hairdresser.
With my new car. It's not a hairdresser's car.
Have you not become you haven't become a hairdresser? Okay.
It's not a hairdresser's car. Piss off.
Oh shit, I thought you'd change professions.
It's good to clear that up. Bald hairdressers, even if that was the case, there are some famous bald hairdressers.
You're like a barber. You're like a barber to the stars type thing. Maybe, you focus on beards.
Shave and haircut too, Bob. You know?
Yeah.
No. It was just like the commo. Oh, it was just, it just died at the end of my street and wouldn't start again. And I was like, and I'm looking at the car and it's not turning over. And I just went, that's time.
Yeah. That's fair.
Nearly got to that point last year when I went out to my brother's place down at Danthorpe, and it got overheated going up Cunningham's Gap and that sort of thing. And I was like, oh, I'll start looking and that sort of thing. But then when the car died last week, I was like, okay, it's time. So yes, I bought a little Mazda 2. I wanted something that was very fuel efficient. And
And did you do? Did you have to do a traineeship before you bought the car, or was
at
it?
TAFE
Yeah.
to for hairdressing at Sunshine TAFE. No. And it's a and like you can't call it a hairdresser's car. It's a
No, I
six-speed
didn't.
manual, mate. It's a
No,
six-speed manual.
I legitimately thought you'd change professions. I'm having a go at you
Just
for your car.
well, this is the thing. You're hinting at it, mate. You're hinting at it. So I'm not a hairdresser.
Okay, thank you.
I can barely cut my own hair, and there's not a
Nice.
lot to cut. And so yeah, I've just bought that. I've hardly driven. I've only driven it from when I bought it. That's the thing. I don't drive very much because I'm most of my Ks are on the scooter at this point in my life, and it's fun. You know, if
The
I'm going out to
car or the scooter?
the well, all of my vehicles are now
All of them.
fun because I've got the
Yeah.
VFR now. And
Yes.
the good thing about the Mazda 2 though, there's so much room for activities in my garage now. Because it's like going from big space station wagon to little hatchback. It's great.
So you got room for a
So
little studio down there, some mirrors and some clippers and
yeah, barber's
all the
chair.
stuff. Yeah, barber's chair. There you go.
Yep.
You probably have a distillery down there and just do the whole
That's
combo.
I don't know what it is still, but I think the Macaulay production might go up with that extra space and stuff,
You
yeah.
came up in conversation with my kid today. Because we talk about petrol prices every time we go past the service station. And Will was like, "What's auto gas?" And I was trying to explain to him that people used to convert their cars over to LPG. And as far as I'm concerned, as far as I know, it's not a thing that really happens anymore. Am I correct
No,
in saying that?
it's becoming very difficult to get LPG to fill up with LPG. So the
Oh, is that the
history
reason?
behind it, yeah, well, no, the history behind it was in 2004 when Kevin Rudd was the Prime Minister.
Kevin 07.
Kevin 04, and what happened was, as part of a sustainability thing, they decided that they would get the Australian car fleet switched over to LPG, to gas, because we had lots of gas. And so they were offering $3,500 subsidy to convert cars, petrol cars, to LPG. And so the old Commodore had factory LPG and that was one of the reasons why I bought it. I was actually when I remember when I bought it, like I had that car for over 12 years. And I specifically wanted an LPG Commodore, because when I first bought the car, LPG was 45 cents a litre in 2012 when I bought the car.
It's still fucking cheap now.
It's $1.10 now, is pretty
Yeah.
much what you pay. You can pay 99 cents out at the airport.
So, and now
And
these woke fuckers are banning gas, aren't they?
oh look, to be fair, like it was actually part of an environmentally conscious choice that I made at the time, because there were no electric cars and running a car on LPG was a little bit more less CO2 emissions and stuff like that.
No, but
So,
aren't they banning? They're trying to ban gas now.
oh, I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, there's like states, probably Victoria, where they're stopping people putting in gas stoves and stuff because gas is
Oh, but that's
worse.
household gas though. Yes, not auto gas though.
The same shit though, right?
No, it's not the same gas.
Oh, okay. That was going to be my
Yeah.
next question.
No, you can't fill up a gas bottle or something with auto gas and expect your barbecue to work properly. It won't.
But what's it,
It's not.
so what's the difference?
I don't know, but I know it's not the same.
Okay, interesting. So it's not LPG.
It's a different type of LPG, I'm led to believe.
This sounds like a
Well, it's
fucking
like
skit from the
leaded, you know, it's
7:30
like leaded and
report.
unleaded
Jesus.
petrol and 91 and 95 and 98. It's all petrol.
Okay,
It's different types of
so
petrol.
it's environmentally sustainable to swap your car to LPG for 3.5 grand and then not use APG. AP LPG. Got it. Anyway, how's the Mazda 2 go for you?
It's okay. I've hardly driven
I've
the fucking thing. It's good
had
fun though.
I've had
It's a good
my
little car.
yeah.
It's just like it just it's good. It's actually quite roomy. The aircon works great. Stereo is pretty good. It's 2015. I paid,
What's the miles per liters per 100 on that little bad boy you're working with?
5.2.
That's pretty good.
It's
It's pretty good.
amazing. So I'm heading out to a uni reunion on the weekends out near Toowoomba. So I'm going to drive out there and throw the tent in the back of the car and see what happens.
Cut some hair. I've had my fair share of hairdresser's car, so I've had every hairdresser's car, so
What was your
none.
most hairdresser-like car?
Mazrem X5, probably. That's, I feel like that's, you just choked on your fucking beard. I think that's the most ultimate hairdresser car, isn't it?
Well, it's certainly doing nothing for your heterosexuality.
Well, you can talk. You ride a scooter and you're a barber with a fucking Mazda 2. Jesus Christ. All right. Let's, well, okay. So everyone missed this. I was extremely excited after we recorded episode number 120, which is a multiple of 12, and we didn't put any
Right.
effort into it. And then when I hit publish on the post, I realized that the episode had a little Easter egg contained in it, and I posted in our group, facebook.com/groups/bossandthebrewer,
Yes.
thinking everyone would notice this Easter egg and be very happy about the fact that while we didn't celebrate the number 12 in our 120th episode, there was a nice little reference to 12.
What was
But no
that?
one did. No one noticed. Not even you
No, I
didn't
didn't
notice.
notice. No,
You
didn't
know what it was?
notice.
The episode went for 1 hour and 12 minutes and 0 seconds. And not on purpose. I didn't do it on purpose,
Just how it
randomly.
worked out.
Yeah.
Oh, very good, very good. Well done, us.
Yeah.
God,
Let's get
this
into a
beer
bit.
smells
So,
amazing.
what do you got? I just
This
had
is
a new beer as well, actually. What do you
this is
got?
the Art Monster American Pale Ale, and
I
it
love
just
the
smells
designs
fucking
on them.
delicious right
Fuck, that's a head. Look at that
God, that's
glass. That
amazing.
looks, well, you know, it's just because it's dark, is it?
Yeah, it's just dark. It's like golden color, but it's
I've got the Matic White IPA Celebration. I didn't realize these two other beers I got were very high stando level. This is two
Oh,
standos.
damn, that's really fucking good. It's just American pale ale, just classic.
Very
Lots of
dark.
lots of but no. It's a pretty dark golden, but wow, lots of piney hops and lots of floral hops. Real assertive bitterness. God damn, that beer is good. When
Good. Very
was
good.
the last time you had a good American pale ale?
All right, I don't really drink that much beer anymore, to be honest. If you do the podcast, I do
Yeah.
but this is my local brewery, so I'm very much enjoying the Matic White IPA. This is very good. And
Trashmore's finest.
Trashmore's Finest. You know, opposite Matic, they've got a little dodgy little diner that says crafted beer available here.
Crafted beer.
Crafted beer. So Matic have got some competition on their hands.
Oh, yeah. Watch out for that crafted beer.
So we've got a bit of news, and then we've got HR, and then we've got HRF1, then we've got 12
There's so
questions.
much
And
F1 news. Oh, it's crazy.
once again, I fucking forgot. Oh no, I fucked up again. I just realized I forgot to check the questions before the guest left. And there
What
was
was
probably a
that?
lot of questions in there for Peter because I asked
Oh.
people to ask questions of him. And that's my fault,
Oh.
isn't it?
Oh, well, here we are.
Here we are.
What do we got
Here
there? Asahi closing Matilda Bay Brew Pub.
Yeah, you were just drinking a Hefeweizen before. You were drinking a sort of a Redback sort of inspired beer, weren't you? A
Well, yeah.
little bit.
Yeah, it's a really interesting one that they're closing that. Yeah, that's kind of strange. I get it. It's just another financial decision and all that sort of stuff that gets made, but that brewery was pretty new.
Yeah.
And Phil
And they
Sexton
made a
was
big deal
involved
of
with
it
it.
coming
He's
back
like
too,
one of
didn't it?
the he's one of the pioneers of the Australian, craft of craft brewing industry. I mean,
Who was
Mike
that?
Piffney
Sorry,
beer,
I
Phil Sexton. And Mike Piffney beer is Alpha Pale Ale. And that's the beer that, I mean, I was living in Perth at the time, and Alpha Pale Ale was the beer that got me into craft beer. It wasn't Little Creatures, it was Alpha Pale Ale. Used to go down the Queens, down on Beaufort Street there and Mount Lawley, and smash pints of Alpha Pale Ale on a Sunday afternoon at the Queens. And yeah, it's pretty and then it sort of got sucked up into the, well, then they moved it from they moved they had the brewery in North Fremantle, then it got moved over to Geelong or something like that. And then they had went to the Port Melbourne, where CBCO is now, and then moved out and then closed and then sold that to CBCO and had no brewery for a while, and then opened up the that new brewery in Healesville, and then they closed that. What a
And there's a big
wild
deal made when
history.
they opened too. There's a lot of Brews
Yeah, but it's a
News
wild history for
promotion
that
and
brand, you know. It's moved, like, literally, it's a brewery and brewing company that's moved around so much, and has done a lot for the craft beer punters, you know, the craft beer fans. Although a lot of the newer fans probably wouldn't think too much of Matilda Bay, you know, and yeah, you just didn't see much of the Matilda Bay beers around.
Never. I was excited about the Redback
You know?
coming back because that was one of my epiphany
Yeah.
beers. It probably wasn't number one, but it was
Yeah,
one of two
Bohemian
or
Pilsner
three.
was awesome as well, and Alpha Pale Ale was excellent, and Dog Bolter, you know, fuck, that beer was a cracker. And
A long time
just
ago, though,
after.
isn't it? I mean, the brand doesn't evolve. It's a different world. Like, what did they really expect? I feel like we've seen a lot of this lately where it's like a brand comes back hoping to capture that nostalgia and just doesn't quite capture it.
Yeah, realizing that everybody's moved on. You know, so I never would have pictured Phil Sexton brewing, you know, a hazy IPA or anything like that. So, you know, it is what it is. Sad news, but that's business, I guess, at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's a long time. It's a long time ago. New IBA directors, including not Phil from Hiker, but
No, he didn't get he
Annalise
didn't
from
get a
Mattock.
Guernsey.
Is on
Annalise
the
from Mattock
list.
got a thing. So who we got there? Tom Champion from
Felons,
Felons. I'm
nice.
having lunch with him tomorrow. And who else got the Annalise, Tom Champion, Glenn Brassington, Helen Black, she's a legend, from Coastal Brewing Company in Foster. It's spelt Forster, but it's pronounced Foster.
I've been there. It's a good spot.
And nice part of the world. Good fish and chip shops.
Amazing.
And who else got there? Paul, what's his name? Paul Maley from Shelter Brewing Company. So I think it's a good lineup, right? Yeah, it should be pretty good. I think that that's a pretty good lineup there, and I
Shelter's
think
fucking
that
cool. We went there and when we went on our WA
in
trip, it's amazing.
Busso,
Yeah,
yeah.
very cool spot.
I think from a Queensland perspective, it's a bit sad that Phil Sharp didn't get up or anything like that, but
No, I don't agree. That dude
you don't
is way too
agree?
busy. He's way too busy. He works
He's very
60,
busy.
70 hours a fucking week. When he's not working, he's doing a podcast. When he's not on that podcast, he's co-hosting this podcast. And when he's not
Yes.
doing any of that, he's overseas. And
Yeah,
then when
he's in
he's not
Europe at the
doing any of
moment.
that, he's hiking.
Yeah.
There's no fucking way in the world he would have been having any time for this.
I
I'm
hope
sure Annalise is
that
very busy too, but
no, that's right. But I hope that Phil and Adzi get together now and start to do something with the Queensland chapter of the IBA. I think would be a good thing for them to do if they happen to choose to do that.
yeah, but you don't need to be an elected board member to do that. They could just do
No,
meetups and be
no.
cooperative and
No, that's right. We certainly need something more formal around the Queensland chapter of the IBA. Let's see what happens. We certainly need some lobbying locally, you know, and all that sort of stuff. You know, I've seen some there's some pretty interesting stuff in the works with the version two of the Queensland Craft Brewing Strategy, which isn't public yet. I can't talk about it, yeah, we certainly need some local advocacy, or advocacy, I prefer to call
advocacy.
it advocacy, yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm keen to hear more about that, but
Yeah.
when you can talk about it.
Yeah.
Next we've got Brew is back.
BRWO
I like this
on.
Dave Walls. Wait, did I link to this? I don't know, wait,
Yeah,
hang
I got it,
on.
I got it, I got it.
Yeah, you got it? Yeah. So this guy does
Okay,
very
so
informative updates on Facebook groups. Dave Walls, shout out.
Brewers in the final stage of contractual discussions with a premier local manufacturer, which once finalized will enable Brew to resume production of its Australia draft beer. Were they making it in Mildura? No. Were they? I used to brew his brew, funnily enough, when I was head brewer at Southern Bay. It felt odd. You know what I mean?
I mean, wouldn't this just be the, I mean, n not to say funny, because I know like a lot of people are suffering and lots of bad shit is going on, but it would be the ultimate insult if like all these breweries collapse and then Brew just comes, like Bradbury's the whole thing and
Yeah.
comes out and comes back and takes over. Don't you think that, am I a sicko for thinking that would be a little bit funny if that happened?
So here's a really interesting
That was a yes.
one, right? When they no, I'm just looking at this, right? So Brew has selected Evermore Supplies Proprietary Limited as its domestic distribution partner. The fuck is that?
A lot of weird smoke and mirrors.
Evermore. I'm just looking up on the ABR, Australian Business Register. Evermore Supplies Proprietary Limited. Okay, there's an ABN. View the record on the ASIC website. Yeah, weird, but here we are. Let's brew. That's what you expect.
Speaking of weird, next on our list. Sorry. Oh, sorry. I feel bad, but next on our list of agenda
Send
items,
it, mate.
last,
Say it. Say
Mighty Craft are trying to buy Better Beer, is my understanding of. Sorry. Did I read that? Did I say that
That's what
right?
you read. I read
Okay.
that too, and I was like, I'm like, company without any cash tries to buy company, much larger company with bigger market cap.
This is like the first time though, in like, because okay, how long ago was when on this podcast I said this company is going to be liquidated? This is quite a long time ago, probably
Yes.
9 months ago, I don't know.
But it always is a slow train wreck though with this shit.
Oh, 100%, 100%. But you know, at that point they were
So
sort of, they were telling the story of divesting non-core assets and all this kind of bullshit. But in this post, they're literally saying the company's not, but basically say the company is not viable unless they can own Better Beer.
yeah.
They're basically drowning and they're just grabbing onto
Better
whatever they
beer.
can grab and trade
It just happens to
with.
be the better beer.
I shouldn't laugh, but
No, it's funny as fuck. It's
it
the
is.
wildest, craziest story that you've ever heard. Is like
Other
a
than
company
Brew coming back. Brew coming
that's
back, which
literally,
for
well,
is.
yeah, that's also just as wild, but they're fucking on par. Tell you
They're on
what.
par.
But there's ba it's basically a company that's literally not heading in the right direction, wants to buy out its biggest asset. Not happening. Not happening.
Should we try and get the Better Beer guys on? I mean, I well,
Yeah, we'll probably get Nick on if he'll
he's
talk to us
not
about
coming
it.
on. He's
Probably
not
won't
coming
talk to
on.
us about it. Probably wouldn't talk about the specifics of the negotiations, obviously,
No.
but just standing at a distance, it's very easy just to point and laugh. You know what I mean?
Wouldn't
So,
they be better just standing at a distance and just doing a little bit of those ones and just.
oh my God, I don't understand what the fuck's going on. It makes no sense. Maybe it's a thing. Maybe it'll happen. I don't know.
Or the other alternative is maybe everything that Mighty Craft ever said was complete bullshit.
Oh, you reckon?
I'm just.
What if Better Beer bought Mighty Craft? That's more believable.
Well, it is actually quite a conundrum that they're in too, because they're part owned by a company with no money, but they also have no
Yes.
money, and they
Yes.
can't raise money while they're part owned by a
By
company with
someone
no
without
money
any
with a
money.
bad
Yeah.
reputation that's dragging them down.
That's right.
So they almost need someone to come in and kind of rescue the whole thing, which is
Yeah.
not happening in the current climate, I would assume. So
No, that's
it's a
right.
weird, tough
Yeah.
situation. But I would assume if you're Better Beer, you sit back and you watch Mighty Craft collapse, and you just move on, and it doesn't
Or
affect you at all.
buy out their share and pennies on the dollar and away you go.
Well, you don't buy anything. The company is effectively going to be liquidated, and
Madness.
get back to the
Absolute
fundraising.
madness.
Okay, now you've got an option of Hendo Reacts
Yes.
or Hendo Reacts F1. So we've got HR or we've got
Yep.
HR F1, and I've
We're
broken them
doing
up into separate
F1.
categories.
Hendo Reacts, Hendo Reacts. It's the segment that we go to when we're done spitting facts. Hendo
not just sit back, it's time to relax. Hendo React.
I've got Hendo Reacts F1, but I don't think I haven't there the Adrian Newey news. So do you want to start there?
Yeah.
Adrian Newey is leaving Red Bull.
He's leaving Red Bull. And if you don't know who Adrian Newey is, he's probably one of the most influential, pioneering car designers ever.
I think he's the most. Look at 100%. The championships.
His cars have won 7 championships, I think. Maybe more.
Oh, no, constructors. No, way more than that.
Yeah, right, okay.
Well, teams he's been in have won something like 17 or something stupid.
Yeah. And he's out of Red Bull. He'll go on some gardening leave, no doubt.
I think that was part of the thing.
Usually is,
but his exit was he's finishing up early 2025.
Yep.
And there's nothing said about what he's going on to, but there's talk of him being involved in the Red Bull hypercar. But I don't think there's gardening leave. Is my understanding.
He might go to Ferrari, which would be good.
So you think he's going to go to another? So there's no talk of him in another F1 team. Do you think he's going to go to another F1 team?
You'd have to consider the option.
So he's 65 years old.
Yes.
He's not. You probably know this, but I've been listening to podcasts and I didn't know this. He's not the technical director at Red Bull. You probably knew that, right?
No. Yeah, that's right.
He's basically a part-time
advisor. That's right.
Yeah. So he's old. He doesn't want to work full time. He doesn't want to work far away from home. He's been approached by Ferrari many times over his career and always turned them down. It's intriguing.
He has indicated that he would like to work for Ferrari and Lewis Hamilton
he'd like to work with Fernando Alonso as well, because I heard him say that in the podcast. He's also indicated that he would like to work once his sailing boat gets finished to sail around the world.
Yeah. Yep. Very interesting. It's a big shakeup, and I think that the ramifications of that is going to be felt up and down the grid in Formula One for many years to come. It's going to be the end of Red Bull being the dominant team.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, with the new regulations coming in 2026, them changing to a Ford engine, not having Adrian Newey. Yep, 100%. It's going to be a big leveler.
Wow. But that's good though, right? I'm actually kind of
excited. Yes, I agree. I agree. It's going to be a good thing. As a spectator, exactly. So, that's a really good thing. See what happens.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get on to, do you want to share your screen and do some HRF one?
Do I have to share sound?
Yeah, share sound. See what happens. Fuck around
and find out. Right. Here we go. Hendo Reacts. We're going on to Twitter X. Carlos. Is that after his appendix surgery?
Yeah, read the caption.
Very ginger.
Read the caption above.
Where's the caption say? Adrian Newey. Adrian. So the caption. The caption is: it's basically Carlos Sainz walking into Jeddah with his looking very ginger after his appendix operation. But the caption is Adrian Newey walking out of Milton Keynes with the RB21 plans up his ass.
Only the best F1 memes here at Boston the Brewer.
Absolutely.
Right, HRF1 too.
Oh, it's the boys. F1 fans watching Lewis Hamilton select the right team at the right time for the third time in a row. Absolutely. Oh, God. You got some good moves.
Yeah, my algorithm is strong with F1 content.
It's like Red Bull next year after Adrian Newey left, and it's like a Red Bull Billy cart going down the hill and wiggling all over the road. Go Max! Oh my God.
Yeah.
Crash? It's gonna crash. Go very slow.
Whee! Oh, there bump. We go.
Whee, the front fell off.
Missing front wing. It's all good.
Oh, it is Max Verstappen.
That was Max.
Oh, okay. HRF1 for Luke Cooper. It's a okay. Real.
Yep.
Stroll and Magnussen fighting for last place. There's two wheelie bins going down the road. Oh dear.
Both have a 10 second penalty.
Oh, there's some wild, wild memes this week. All right. HRR15. Another reel.
I heard you want Max to drive for Mercedes next year.
Yes, Horner. Max would be so, so right for us.
I don't think he knows how to drive a tractor.
Good one, Horner. Sneaked the joke out smoothly, same as you did with the allegations.
Why don't you just focus on making a decent car?
Why don't you let Max decide where he wants to go or not?
His dad never let him decide anything. Why should I?
Relax, Horner. Just read a book or go for a walk and chill out for a bit.
I have a book recommendation for you.
Oh, really? What is it?
How to Build a Car by Adrian Newey.
I am going to sign Adrian too.
He doesn't know how to build a golf cart. Hey, Toto, I heard you.
Is that like a fucking AI voices?
Yeah.
Very well done.
Yeah. And that was also pre 6 days ago. That's pre the Adrian Newey decision to leave Red Bull. So that's pretty good.
I love the comment. Please leave Max out of your silly arguments.
Straight to the comments. Yeah.
Yeah. Why does Toto sound like Snape? So good. Very good.
Thanks, very good. Luke Cooper. He's pretty good.
Thank you, Luke Cooper. PM. Yes.
For the, right, should we look at these questions? Because most of them are probably going to be for Peter, but we're here now, so we might as well
have a look. We can answer them as Peter in an AI voice.
Okay. All right. Luigi, question for Peter. What's going on with all this All You Can Drink festival? Oh, actually, well, let's talk about that because I did have that in HR non-reacts.
Yeah, that just looked really sketchy.
Good thread in the group, though, right?
Oh my god, it was just like, can you pull that up? Which one? Which endo reacts?
I think it's probably HR1. Have a look. I did have it in there.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
Yeah, Luigi said, "What is this?" And it was basically an all-you-can-drink craft beer festival on rooftop playground. Let's have a look at this. Let me share my screen again.
Do it.
Then we can have a look. No need to share sound. Unlimited beer festival. Oh god, this is just straight up. As soon as you do something like that, you are just heading to RSA and ABAC. Fucking misery. Right? I read this article and there was just some phrases in this that I was like, what the
unlimited beer festival? About? There you go.
Kicking off its nationwide tour in the vibrant city of Melbourne. Yeah.
This is one way to get over dry July.
Yeah. At the Pickerport, Melbourne. And someone said in the comments that there's nothing in the bookings for Pickerport that festival is going to be there.
Oh, it's on that date. They're just making this shit up.
And from, okay, here we go. This is the sentence that fucking got me. From craft ales to hoppy IPAs, there's something to tantalize every taste bud.
With I'm American sorry. Spelling as well.
I'm sorry, but IPA, the A in IPA
is a craft ale.
Stands for ale. Got two kinds of music, country and Western.
Are you tempted by these early bird tickets though, or no?
How much?
25. Unlimited 25. Beer tasting.
Wait,
music 25. And
fun. So wait, you're telling me. An all-you-can-drink beer festival for $25.
Also, unlimited fun, though. It's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, but with unlimited beer, you're going to have unlimited fun. Well, exactly. Until you fall over. The festival will run in two sessions, 12 till 3 p.m. and 4 till 7 p.m. It's a three-hour session that's fine. Cheers to the end
free
of
beers.
Dry July.
Free beers.
Look at all this stolen fucking stock photography. Southwest Craft Beer Festival. Look at this shit. Something from Chicago. The glass on it says Chicago.
Oh my god.
Fucking, look at this shit. What's this fucking thing here? That's just odd.
Zoom in on that, baby.
Little bit of fucking don't know what the hell that is, but that is certainly not Australia. That kind of looks like that's not Gabs.
It looks like Gabs, doesn't it?
It looks like Gabs, but it's not. I can tell that it's not. So something odd going on there. Weird. There's a few steins and shit. There's a different type of glass again. There's some cool people drinking beer. 23rd Studios. Probably stolen
A lot
stock
of
from
overlap in the
you.
people. There's a few people that are the
Another
same
one.
people.
It's probably all AI generated people. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. Like, yeah, the stock of photography does not paint a very good picture of this particular
No, but
festival. Maybe it's a thing. I don't know. If it's too good to be true, it usually is.
did I buy
Yeah.
us two tickets? Maybe I did.
Did you? Did you? Let's fucking go. I'm serious. Let's go. It's gonna be fucking
Like
sick.
Pinapalooza 2.0. What do you mean? Of course we're going.
Like
We're going.
$25 a fucking pop. Let's
It's
take
fucking
fucking both
bargain.
Adam Shells as well.
Oh God. All right.
Flying to Melbourne. We'll fly both Adam Shells to Melbourne. So you, me,
Fuck
we'll get a
yeah.
double date. You and Adam Shell, and me and Adam Shell. Fuck yeah. Down for
Mean.
that.
All right,
What else are we gonna do on
Luigi.
a weekend?
Exactly. Luigi, we're back in Miami this weekend. Oh, so excited. Thoughts of the new Ferrari livery with the blue detail in inverted commas to celebrate 50 years racing in the US. That has nothing to do with new sponsor, which I think is HP, which he says, which coincidentally has a blue logo. But it's a
Yes.
different blue, though. It's like a light blue. But
It's
yeah,
very
I'm down
light
with it.
blue. Yeah, it's a
I'm down with
sky
it. Little
blue kind of
stripey
thing.
blue. I'm down with that.
Yeah.
Works.
I like Miami. I like that little back thing with the little thin little technical set of corners there and that sort of thing.
Is Eminem rapping there? I read somewhere that could I could just be making this up, but
Yanks usually turn it on pretty
they
well.
do. They really do.
You know, Vegas last year was wild. It was
And sprint
amazing.
weekend too. It's gonna
Is
be a
it?
non-stop this weekend.
Yeah, good. It's been a good
Yeah.
season. I've thoroughly enjoyed this season.
Yeah, I've gotten used to well, last race was the best.
China was
China
amazing.
was
The
good.
whole weekend was phenomenal, you know.
Yeah. I
Australia
think
was good with
with the
Verstappen
silliness
going
that's
out.
happening
Yep, it's
and
good. It's
it's
good on
good.
and off the track silliness. I'm thoroughly enjoying this season.
Yeah, but if it, I mean I think we've just adjusted to the fact that Max is just dominating and we're kind of just looking at the rest of the grid to
That's right.
be entertained.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Happy days.
Podium predictions for Miami GP. You got anything? You know, our driver predictions have already gone to shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's because we're shit at predicting driver
Well,
positions.
I understand that, but yeah.
Well, it's gonna be Max in front, Max and Checo. Checo's having a terror as well.
Yeah, I think.
Podium nearly every race, isn't he?
Yeah, nearly. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's doing all
You
right.
know, and a fourth and something. He's much better than what he was doing last season.
Well, he started the season last year quite well as well, and he went to
Yeah.
shit by the end.
Yes.
So we'll see.
Yep.
Big weekend for
But it's
Matt,
good.
for Checo. Big weekend for Ricciardo. He was better last week. There's a lot of drivers that have their job on the line, like Joe and Bottas. We predicted to keep their seats.
No, that's
They're both probably
right.
losing their jobs.
Yeah, it's Magnussen who's going to Sauber, isn't it?
No,
No.
Hülkenberg.
Hulk's going to Sauber. Yeah, so who's staying or
Exactly.
not?
Yeah.
That's the that's a
Probably
that's a
neither,
really it
I
could be
think.
neither, yeah.
Maybe one for 1 year, but Bottas for 1 year, maybe. But
Yeah. To get him to because Sauber's becoming Audi, isn't
Audi. And then they're going to
it?
have
Yeah.
Sainz if all the rumors are true in 26. And then you've got Antonelli, Bearman, Liam Lawson potentially coming into the sport, which means you're going to lose at least two, possibly three.
Yeah.
You could
Yeah.
lose Ricciardo, Zhou, and Bottas in 1 year.
Yeah. 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 It's wild stuff.
Yeah, it is entertaining.
It's really interesting. I think it's the old Brahman's breath, you know, because it's like there was no changes to the driver and team lineups last year. And I think that caused a lot of tension, and now it's just going snap, and everything's
Well, I
just
think Lewis
mad
moving at the
scramble.
start of the season set the foundation for an absolute
Yeah,
craziness.
for a wild, silly season. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Question: Lando first cousin to Dan Norris placement prediction. Okay, that's a good
Is
one.
your
Lando,
first
yeah,
cousin?
he's my cousin.
How many
Placement
times removed?
Miami, a couple. I would say fourth for Lando in Miami. What do you
Not
think?
bad. I'd put him on the podium potentially.
He's doing well.
He's doing well, and he did surprisingly well at China. When there's a lot of like low to medium speed corners, the McLarens haven't done well there. Lot of low to medium speed corners in Miami as well, but see what happens. They've surprised.
I want Piastri to do well because I was a little worried last year when everyone was singing his praises for having such a good rookie season, which it was. But you don't get that much leeway in F1. If he
No.
gets consistently dominated by his teammate, he'll become the Mark Webber of Aussie F1 and or the Ricciardo. And it's not, we don't want that, do we? All right. Brad Grieve, question: what is the best blend for cold brewing? Suggestion: consider using a cold brewed coffee for the East Coast Roast Hiker collab. It's better for drinking cold and heaps easier to make than 5,000 espresso shots. Yeah,
Sure. Yep.
makes sense.
Easy. Steep. Grind beans. Steep them in cold water. Done.
Yes. No. Yeah, we can do that. No problem with that.
But
Stephen
no,
Kegel.
you don't get the aroma though. So when you brew with coffee, if you use hot extracted coffee, espresso or something like that, you get wonderful aroma, but the coffee oxidizes and goes bitter very quickly. Cold
Yeah.
steep ha cold drip cold steep coffee has wonderful flavor, but not a lot of aroma.
That's what you want, though. You don't want the kind of bitterness, right?
You do though. Well, milk and two sugars have both
Yeah.
for that reason.
Okay, that makes sense. But then it costs you $1 million.
It's going to be your money.
No, I'm a tight ass these days. I don't spend any fucking money unless I absolutely have to. Thoughts on Mighty Craft's quarterly update? I feel like we talked about
We laughed.
that.
We laughed. That's what we
All right.
did.
Well, I try not to. Qu Tim
We
Howard,
laughed a lot.
question: what are some autumn winter seasonal beer you are both looking to indulge in? Oh, Dan, enough talk disguising your red vino beers. That's a fair call. He's got a sort of a nitro stout filling the
Okay,
gift thing there.
this is actually a really good question, right? We have this really bad habit in Australia where it's like, oh, it's winter, we must be drinking stout. Let's
Well,
not drink stout. Let's make summer a summer of stout next summer,
I
24,
tried to do that in
25.
2014, Hendo, and it
Yeah,
served
well,
us
let's
pretty
do it
well.
again. Do it again.
We launched Black Ops with a stout. It worked well in December.
I think this winter's beer style du jour, de saison, de saison, I think would be something like Vienna Lager or Weizenbock. Go and get yourself a fucking bottle of Weihenstephan Vitus.
Are Weihenstephaner doing something in Australia at the moment?
Yeah, Gabs. Yeah, they're at
Oh, is it
Gabs.
Gabs?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so if they bring Vitus, good.
Yeah.
Because that beer is amazing. Like it's literally, I've seen it make a man cry, and yeah, it's that good.
Well, it's always fucking cold over there, so they probably know how to
Yeah,
make beer for cold
exactly.
temperatures.
So drink a Vienna Lager, drink a Weizenbock, and you're gonna be fine.
That's fair. I do have a dark ale here though, but I feel like we're out of time, so probably that's for another time. But
Yeah. Do you have a fridge in your basement?
I don't have anything down here. I've got what's going to be a toilet. I've got a washing machine that doesn't have a return line, and that's difficult. But I've got a tub for it, and that's it. That's it.
Well,
Just storage. A little bit of
okay.
leakage.
Right. Is it damp? Is it damp? Is it
It's
moist
damp.
damp?
Yeah, it's a little bit damp.
Damp.
That's it. I mean, unless you want to do HR, traditional HR, but
No, we'll do that next week.
yeah, no, I think we're good.
Yeah.
That's a wrap.
Love your work.
Dude, we did it. We're back.
Yeah, we're back.
It was only 1 week off. It's all
I know.
good.
It's an impromptu week off, but it's good. Catch you next week.
All right, Hendo. See you, mate.